You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Burson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 24, verse 49, where we left off last time. We're studying the beautiful story of Abraham. Why is that important to you? Because Abraham is your kin. He's your kinfolk. If you're a Christian, he's your kinfolk. Do you know, to simplify the Bible, this Bible is simply a story about one man and his family and all who come in contact with this family, good or evil. And of course, in Abraham's family was the Messiah, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, last week, Sarah had died and was buried in the cave that Abraham bought. And then he realized he better get a bride for Isaac, because God had said, in Isaac's son, In Isaac's sons shall all nations of the earth be blessed. In other words, the Messiah is going to come through that lineage that would be God's only son, and whosoever is in Jesus is blessed. So Abraham sent his trusted servant Eliezer back to Abraham's hometown to get the right pedigree girl, the bride for Isaac. Now God sent his son, Jesus, out into the world, which is the field, to get a bride. And Christian, you're the bride. Well, the beautiful thing about Eliezer, he trusted God, and he said, God, I ask that the woman that you've chosen will come to the well, and she'll give me a drink of water, and then she'll say voluntarily, and I will water your camels also. He had 10 camels, and they'll drink a lot of water. So that's exactly what happened. Here comes Rebecca. And so Eliezer just gives thanks right then and says, this is the one, God, thank you. You showed me immediately. God didn't mess around. Sometimes he gives you a mission, and you just get it done. Well, then Rebecca's brother, Laban, and her dad, Bethuel, and mother invite Eliezer and the men that were with him to tend the camels in to spend the night. It was dark, and also to have a feast. Just before they would eat, Eliezer said, first of all, I have to tell you why I'm here. I didn't come to have a nice dinner. I came, my master Abraham sent me to get the right wife for his son Isaac. Because in Isaac's son shall all nations of the earth be blessed. The Messiah is coming through him. And then he says, and God has shown me that Rebecca is the one. So they're about to eat. Eliezer is talking to Laban, Rebecca's brother, and Laban's dad, Bethuel.
Son 9, and now if thou wilt deal kindly and plainly with thy master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left.
What I want to know, may I take Rebecca back with me? And if not, I've got to have plan B.
Verse 50, then Laban and Bethuel said, the thing proceeded from the Lord, and we cannot speak it's bad or good.
They were of God's people. Laban is a little bit, loves money too much, but he's Rebecca's brother. Bethuel's her dad. They said, no, God showed you, and Rebecca said all of that about feeding the camels. No, we can't fight God. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Behold, Rebecca is withholden. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. 52, and it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth.
Watch that man, Eliezer. He doesn't mess around. As soon as God answers his prayer, he immediately stops and gives thanks. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Something will interfere. Keep that constant flow of thanksgiving. You're blessed by many thanksgivings unto God. Thanksgiving brings blessing. So right there in front of Rebecca, remember we can't be unequally yoked, they had to see that he comes from a place that you pray about everything. Do you pray about everything? You want to get so you do that. You won't make so many mistakes.
53, and his servants brought forth jewels and silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah, and gave also to her mother precious things.
And also to her brother Laban. He had been watching those golden chains. This is what you call a dowry. In other words, Abraham was very, very wealthy, so he sent all these precious jewels and beautiful clothes. You know, Rebekah was going to marry into royalty. Sarah was like a queen, and Abraham was like a king, and now Isaac would be the next king, and then Rebekah would be the princess, and then she would be the queen. So they sent her beautiful clothes to wear so she could be beautiful in jewelry. It was a dowry. Now, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. But when Jesus came to purchase you, he didn't offer you gold and silver and jewels. Something more precious he handed you, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You're not yours. You're bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
54, and they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night.
Okay, a nice feast. Now everything's settled, and they're going to go to sleep now.
And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away into my master.
He's ready to go. Put Rebekah on a camel, and let's go back.
55, and her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go.
Now, they mean well. Her brother Laban, her mother, all of her family, they love Rebekah. She's so vivacious. She's so loving. She's so caring. She's so precious. They love her, and they're going to miss her. Let her stay just 10 more days. Now, you see, they mean well, but they're interfering with God's timetable. You see, it would be only 4 days before God would send his son. That was 4,000 years before Jesus came, but a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 2 Peter tells us that. So God's in a hurry. He wants to get this thing going so he can send his only begotten son. When you know that you're to do a thing, don't keep delaying it. Let's just say you know perfectly well you need to move away from that relationship or from that job or from that substance, or from that situation. But you say, I think I'll wait till Christmas, at least I can enjoy Christmas. I'll wait until their birthday, or I'll wait, we'll have one more feast together and I'll do it. No, you are interfering with God's plan. Just turn on a dime, do what tells you, do it right then. It's very important, God is watching. We don't waste God's time. And we don't waste our time. That's almost a sin.
Verse 56, and he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way.
Don't hold me up, God. This is God's will. You're trying to go against God's will. See, well-meaning people will get in the way of God's plan. You want to help your friend. Let's just wait before you do this. Let's do it this way. Let's fix it up this way. No, God said to move, so move.
Send me away that I may go to my master. 57, we'll recall the damsel. And call it her mouth.
Thank goodness they're going to finally ask Rebekah. That'll settle it.
58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go.
There's no doubt in Rebekah. Rebekah understands this is destiny. She knows the Messiah is going to come through her womb right on down, descendant after descendant. So she's just ready. And one day you were lost, and then you recognize your sins and you ask forgiveness and you were forgiven and that precious blood washed away your sins. And Jesus said to you, take up your cross, come and follow me. And I know that you said, wherever you go, I will follow.
59. And they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse.
Her nurse, okay. They were very wealthy people. She had her own nurse to take care of her clothes and things. She's a princess.
And Abraham's servants, the men. Verse 60. And they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those that hate thee.
Now you say, how in the world is that blessing by her family ever going to come true? It's already come true. Because, see, Rebecca understood destiny. She knew that the purpose of her life was to be that early seed for the Lord Jesus to come through. And so, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, child would be born, and finally Jesus would come through Mary. And millions and thousands of people have accepted Jesus, are accepting Jesus. And so therefore we say that Rebecca is our mother. And do you know that wherever that seed has gone, God has blessed that nation. As we continue following through Genesis, you're going to find in a few more chapters that 10 of the tribes settled these United States of America. I will just absolutely prove it all. And we're going to use that for the day of repentance where we have that. And we're going to find that's why America, we have been had the wall of God around us always up until now, and we've always been able to protect our gate. Wherever the seed line goes, where the Messiah is involved, God blesses. That blessing came true. Thousands of people, because Rebecca was obedient, have accepted Jesus.
61. And Rebecca her damsel, and they rode upon the camels.
Okay, now we got 10 camels in front with a servant and his men, and then we got the camels in the back, and Rebecca's on one. She's got a nurse, she's got damsels. Those are ladies in waiting. In other words, they help her get her clothes clean and beautiful, and help her get her hair fixed, and so she has these attendants, and we're ready to get on the camel.
And followed the men, and the servant took Rebecca to be his wife. Verse 62. 62, and Isaac came from the way of the well of Yahatuel.
Yahatuel means the well of the living God. Now this shows us about Isaac. Certainly his father Abraham has said, son, I've sent my servant Eliezer to find you the right woman so you can get married, so the Messiah can come on in and save the world. So Isaac is meditating, he's walking in the field. You understand? Jesus said, the field is the world. So the Son was walking in the field. God sent the Son to the field, to the world, and he went by the well of the living God. Jesus said, you drink of me, I am the living water.
Verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate.
Now, to meditate, in his word do we meditate day and night. In other words, we're to talk, say, tell, speak, pray, and sing the word of God. That is our language. So the word that Abraham had taught him, that's what he was talking to God. He was praying to God. You think he's a little bit nervous? Because when he sees those camels, it's supposed to be a woman on one of them.
In the field at evening time.
It's evening time.
Lifted up his eyes, and behold, the camels were coming.
He looks up. It's evening time. The day is almost done, and the camels are coming. Anytime the camels were coming, that was good news, because they always brought gifts. Do you know the book of Revelation says that when our Lord Jesus comes at the second coming, he comes at the seventh trump after the Antichrist comes at the sixth. When Jesus comes, he's going to have gifts for those of us who overcome the Antichrist. Hallelujah. Yeah. This is a bridegroom. Yeah. He's been away for a while. He's going to bring us presents to show his love for us.
64. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes.
Almost simultaneously, see, they had a lot in common. He's looking for her, and she's looking for him. The Apostle Paul says, there's a crown of glory waiting for you if you're looking for the second coming of Jesus. Now remember, even when the Antichrist comes very soon first, still look for the real one. Don't look to the fake one. Wait, keep looking for the real one.
And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off that camel.
Here she goes. She's going to run and meet Isaac, just like she wanted those camels. That's my Prince Charming. I'm going to go where he is.
65. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself.
Just before she lighted off that camel, it was custom to put a veil over her. That meant that no one could touch her. The veil meant that she was pure and holy, and only the bridegroom could remove that veil when they got married. When Jesus gave up the ghost after he paid his 6 hours on the cross, six being the number of depraved mankind, all of the sins of the world, he said, it is finished. And then Jesus, in his resurrected body, went into the Holy of Holies, into the temple. The Holy of Holies is where God was, but there was a veil betwixt them and the people and the priest. Jesus took that veil and he rent it from top to bottom. He tore the veil, and now you and I may go in there naked in our sins with no shame to be again one with the lover of our soul, at one-ment with God, spiritually married.
66. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done.
Can you imagine the servant? He has to outrun Rebecca. She's already run up there. She's checking Isaac out. Isaac's checking her. And they're probably just grinning at each other and already feeling the chemistry. Look what God did. I'm sure they both thought, wow. And here comes the servant. Now, wait just a minute. So he's got to explain to Isaac how it came about that Rebecca was proven to be the one God had chosen.
67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent.
Wow, he didn't bring her into just any old tent, not his bachelor's tent. You see, Abraham was very rich, so there were nomadics, so they had tents for everybody. They had lots of servants and family. Everybody had a tent, but Sarah's tent was a tent of a queen. So Rebecca got the queen's treatment. In Sarah's tent would be accommodation so that she could clean up and she could dress herself and fix her hair and put on some of that pretty raiment for her marriage. She got to move into the queen's tent.
And took Rebecca, and she became his wife.
In Bible times, the way the marriage ceremony would be, men wore skirts in Bible times. The man would just take his skirt, put it over the woman, and that was the ceremony. And so we pronounce Isaac and Rebecca, man and wife, by God.
And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death.
He had been grieving for his mother. He loved his mother. But now this vivacious, beautiful, loving, kind, can't do enough to make you happy person was there with him. You know, weeping tarries but the night, but joy comes in the morning. Let's say it. Weeping tarries but the night, but joy comes in the morning. One more time. Weeping tarries but the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Genesis chapter 25, verse 1. Then again, Abraham took a wife.
Oh my goodness, he's going to get married again. That man just won't stop. He's going to marry someone called Keturah. Isn't that a beautiful name? Now, they're going to have a whole passel of children. I'm going to read them real fast, and then you can ignore them, okay, except for one.
And her name was Keturah. Verse 2, and she bare him Zenai, and Jokshan, and Reuben, and Midian.
Don't forget Midian. That's the one you want to remember. Okay. Abraham marries Keturah, and they have a son named Midian. Now, in the book of Exodus, chapter 18, along will come Moses, and Moses has been accused of being married unequally. Not at all. He did not marry out of the seed line. It tells us there that his father was named Jethro. remember the clamp, it's Jethro. And Jethro was a Midian priest. So Midian was the priesthood in this family. So see, we still got it, the family of God.
And Ishbak and Shua, three in Jokjam begat Shuban and Dedan. And the sons of Reuben were Asherin, Hakushan, Leon, verse 4. And the sons of Midian, Ephah and Canaan.
And of course, Midian, then they would have children, but the Midian were the priesthood in Keturah's family.
And Abidah and Obadiah, all these were the children of Keturah. Verse 5, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac.
Now, the reason was that God said, in Isaac shall all nations of the earth be blessed, the Messiah is coming through you. If Abraham had given equally to Midian and equally to Ishmael, Hagar's son, people would have been saying, well, maybe God meant for the others to Messiah to come through there. There could be no doubt. He had to keep it clean. Isaac is the heir. Isaac is the one through whom Jesus would come.
Verse 6, but unto the sons of the concubine which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son.
Apparently he did catch up with Hagar and Ishmael and gave them some sustenance.
And he lived eastward into the east country. 7, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175 years.
He lived 175 years.
Verse 8, and when Abraham gave up the ghost, he died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people.
Right there in that cave he had bought for his wife, Sarah. Now, he was 75 years old when God first told him that he would have a son and the Messiah would come through them. 100 years had passed. 100 is a number of God's people. So it's time for him to go home. You say, oh, but that's so sad. I don't want him to leave. No, Jesus says, all live unto him. Remember Luke 16, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? And the rich man looked across the gulf and he saw Lazarus safe in the arms and the bosom of Abraham. And remember in John 8, Jesus was fussing at the Kenites. They were the phony priests. Jesus said to them, you are of your father the devil. They said, we be not born of fornication. We be Abraham's children. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They said, you're not even 50 years old. How could Abraham see you born of your virgin Mary? Abraham lived a long time ago. And Jesus says, all live unto me. You see, Abraham is alive. Everybody's alive. Do you know nobody's dead? There is a gulf, some on one side and some on the other. And we won't go into that right now. We'll get into that in Ezekiel. We got it into there in Revelation. But you need to know that. This also shows us, if Abraham rejoiced to see when Messiah was born through Mary, that means they do care more than people like to tell us about what's going on down here. Remember, we're all the family of God, and in the spiritual body, you've got more understanding. So, of course, they know what's going on.
9, and his son Isaac and Ishmael, and buried him in the cave of Machpelah.
Isaac was so gracious, he invited Ishmael, Hagar's son, and they got along. He knows that Isaac can get along with Ishmael and vice versa, Mideast.
In the field of Ephron, son of Zohar the Hittite, which is in the field of Mamre, which is Hebron. 10, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Seth, and there Abraham buried Sarah his wife.
Now you know that sepulcher still exists today. It's right there in Hebron in the land of Israel. And right now, there's an acrostic about that, a secret of God. In that would be the remains of Isaac, Sarah, Rebekah, Abraham, and Leah. She's coming up in our story. I for Isaac, S for Sarah, R for Rebekah, A for Abraham, L for Leah, Israel. There you have it. And so we're going to see Abraham again. You know, a lot of the saints are getting ready to come with Jesus the second time. So we won't say this is the end. It's just a new beginning. So now we're going to watch and see, when will Rebekah and when will Isaac have their child. We'll begin right there next week. Don't miss it. I hope you were blessed.
Amen.
Thank you for your generous supplies. Okay. At this time, I usually announce to you and introduce you to the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Scott Burson, who is my twin friend. Well, he and his family are away this week, so I've got a substitute. I would like to introduce you to my good friend, my puppet, Sunshine. Hello, everybody. Hello. Oh, you're so friendly. Thank you very much for welcoming. My name is Sunshine. I give you sunshine. That's enough, Sunshine. Remember, we got mystery moment to do. What is your question, Sunshine? Sherry, please explain Revelation 13, 6, 6, 6. Okay, I'll do that, Sunshine. Revelation 13 says, count the number of the beast. His number is a number of a man, 6, 6, 6. The word count in the Greek means to enumerate the stones over a long period of time. So let's enumerate the stones way back in the first earth age. That man is, of course, the Antichrist. It means instead of. He's going to pretend to be Jesus. In the first earth age, there was a beautiful cherub named Lucifer, and he wanted to be God. He said, I will be God. God's number is 7. That's perfect. 6 is a number of depravity, broken, sinful man. But Lucifer said, I want to be 7. But he was just a 6. He overthrew God's kingdom, brought sin into the equation, made one big royal mess. He wanted to be 7, but he was just a 6 in the first earth age. So notice that when you're trying to figure out who 6-6 is. Then we look into the second earth age when God smashed it in. They're right there in the garden. Whoa, there was a 7 in there. The tree of the life was Jesus Christ. That's God. But there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's all 6. He was trying to get to Eve first so he could have the first son. Again, he wanted to be 7. He wanted to be God, but he was just a 6. 6, the first earth age, 6 in the garden. Soon and very soon, the 6th trumpet will sound. It's not an actual sound. It means an entity is going to come from the sky. Everybody's going to think he's God. Half the Christians, Matthew 25, will call him Jesus. He's the devil with his Jesus costume on, Antichrist. He's coming as 7. He's saying, I am God. He's coming as God, because you always wanted to be 7. But he is still 6. He comes at the 6th seal, the 6th trump, the 6th vial. 6 in the first earth age, 6 in the garden, 6 now. So don't be disturbed by him. And Sunshine, 666 is not a tattoo and it's not a computer chip. So give Sunshine a little hand when you do that. I know you appreciate it. Okay. Next week, we'll resume Scott's stuff. I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. But first of all, if you're not saved, let's pray this prayer and get you saved. We want you to enjoy and be on the good side of the gulf with us and Abraham. Pray this and mean it, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Wash away all my sins with the precious blood of Jesus.
Wash away all my sins with the precious blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To get this word,
to
the whole wide world,
and increase your kingdom.
Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. For those of you who prayed that and meant it, my announcer will give you my telephone number in a few minutes, and I invite you to call and leave that message on my answer machine. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask, according to Malachi chapter 4, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. We ask, Father God, that the Spirit of Jesus Christ, healing virtue, will flow into the top of the skull, the very top of the head, all throughout the membranes, into the brain and the sinuses, and clear up the passages into the jaws and into the face and into the backbone and spine and central nervous system. Let the nerves be unpinched. Let there be perfect alignment. Anything just that is out of alignment, get back in line in the mighty name and the power of Jesus. All the way, let this healing virtue flow into the kidneys, into the colon, into the stomach, into the body parts, the heart and lung, into the skin be healed, into the feet and the toes and the legs. Oh, hallelujah. He sent his word and healed. He restores health and cure to you. Oh, take up your bed and walk. Praise ye the Lord. Faith is an act. He sent his word and healed you. Thank you, Father. We give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Well, for those of you who got healed then, feel free to also call and tell me that. Scott will be back next week with his Scott stuff, and so we'll be looking forward to that. Remember that everything you get is to give away. That's why God gives it to you, to see what you would do with it. It's not yours to keep. Send it on ahead. That's what I do. I am so rich, I just send it all ahead. And I got it so deposited in heaven. You want to learn to do that, you'll be free and you'll be happy. And you want to share these beautiful truths with other people. It's a shame to be so selfish to hold such truths and not tell someone. The world's starving for the truth, and you have the truth. You hear it all the time. Jesus' name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And he said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you and I thank you for listening. And I ask that the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. Until next time, I can't wait for us to get together to hear the joyful sound of the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth. First love me. I know that he loved me.
of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea.
Sing it.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Yes, he did.
Let's sing it.
And oh, how I love Jesus.
Come on, lift it up.
Love you, Lord. Oh, how I love
Yes,
Jesus.
We do.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
We love you, Lord. Lift it up.
Yeah. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big. Should be called the children of God.
peace is found. So sing, my soul, sing. My Father's arms are wider than the sea, and I'm standing on the shoulders of majesty. No matter how far I run, I can never outrun His love. My Father's arms are holding me. Open, open the floodgates. Rain down, let Your kingdom come.
You're listening to WMIE Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
People spend so much time trying to fake it to make it in order to at least give the impression I know who I am and what I'm doing.
But Dr. Tony Evans says external appearances will never change our internal realities.
Life becomes meaningless when it gets disconnected from God and eternity.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Imagine how different life could be if we devoted more attention to how we are than we did to how we look. That's Dr. Evans' subject today as he takes us to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 for a look at moving from vanity to victory.
My oldest daughter, Crystal, when she was growing up, loved to do something. She loved to put together puzzles. When Christmas time came around, her mother and I would always know we would have to buy a puzzle for Crystal to put together. She loved the challenge of taking that which was disconnected and connecting it to give whatever picture on the box was to be the result of connecting the pieces of the puzzle together. On one occasion, after she had demonstrated the ability to do this quite well and was putting together puzzles fairly quickly, we brought her a 1,000-piece puzzle. Of course, this puzzle had a large amount of pieces connected to it that she had to make sense of and connect. It wasn't too long before she came in to our room from the table in which she was working.